The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do we need a late summer field trip downtown with the Blammer?
I would love nothing more. I would clear my calendar for the whole day.
Oh my God! This was in our bed.
What is this? A prophylactic rubber?
Okay. Because I don't think he's available to August because I got him grounded on the 4th.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you got him grounded on the 4th?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
What is this doing on my bed?
I don't know. You were having sex on our bed? Yes.
And he was supposed to go to a party and didn't go, so we're looking at a three-weeker.
You gave him too many Blammers?
They either evaporated or he drank them. I have no idea. All I know is I just kept filling the glass up.
Who told you you could have sex in our bed?
Well, my bed is too small.
Your bed is too small? I'm gone 2 weeks and you turn our house into Bourbon Street?
That's it. You're grounded.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit.
Before we get to the more pressing matters of the day, I do want, there was one follow-up question around what we just heard in the open that I did not ask yesterday. So tomorrow is Blammer Thursday. Is he not allowed to come over because you got him grounded?
Yeah,
because you got him too drunk on the 4th?
Yeah, this is going to be... When did I want to see him again? I think it's going to be a couple weeks. Not his worst.
Dude, so we know that your wife is not a fan of the Blammer. Because the Blammer has mooched some things from time to time. Is the Blammer's wife a fan of you? Is this kind of a...
No. I kind of get put in the doghouse. She officially can't put me in the doghouse, but by proxy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, I mean, anytime that
I was
her
down
husband...
there yesterday.
Oh.
And she did turn around and wave to me, okay. So I felt pretty good about that.
All right.
But he is now bartering salmon for spots in his barn.
It's salmon?
Yes.
Wait, so you have to give him salmon?
No, I don't. But I have a buddy who has a six-by. You know what a six-by is?
I do not.
Six-by's got the dump back into it. It's
kind of like a big four-wheeler. Sure.
So it's a six-by.
Yeah.
So he uses it to plow his driveway.
Okay.
And he need to put it in the barn. So the trade was, he's fishes in Lake Michigan, he gets salmon. So the barter was, you know, a couple salmons for a spot in the barn for 4 or 5 months. He only operates on the barter system. That's it. I've never seen any type of money exchange hands.
I love how your neighbor just still works on the barter system like it's 1822.
Yes. I went down and saw his corn yesterday.
Oh, I mean, it's knee high. Should be past that because it's knee high by 4th of July.
Well, the question is, when are the weeds going to bypass the corn?
Why is he so bad at growing corn?
Because he doesn't listen to me. He's a knucklehead.
I told him what to do. Is that everybody's problem? They just need to listen to you more?
When it comes to growing corn, yes. And we love corn. Corn is so good. But he's just old. He's old. He won't listen.
And he's stuck in his ways.
Yes. But that was a new one. Salmon for a spot in the barn. So I would say this is probably a two-weeker. Two-week probation.
Weeks. So no Blammer. What are you going to do? You're up here. A lot of times, for those who don't know, Blammer is Chewy's neighbor who he hangs out with every Thursday. And when Chewy's in Florida, it's his neighbor up here. So when Chewy's in Florida, they have done, which is still shocking to me because I don't know how you know how to operate it, But you have done like FaceTime or Zoom
virtual,
calls.
Virtual Blammer when Thursdays. I'm in Thursday. Now, here's, I can get by because I got the Spaniard coming in next week.
Okay.
Who's been a guest on the show.
He has been, yes.
You know the Spaniard.
Former college golfer from St. Louis.
Out of St. Louis. And then the following week, I have a big Florida contingent coming in.
Oh, wow.
Of about 7 people. But I did hook up Frank with a girl down there. Very nice girl. So Frank's coming up, too.
You're busy. You know, for being a guy that we think just does nothing all the time, you're entertaining all these people.
Yeah, you're getting people entertain in trouble. Himself.
Yes.
You know what? It's a great point, Josh. This isn't about entertaining other people.
It's entertaining myself.
Correct.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because Angie's batting average.
I was making it an
Angie's batting average when it comes to setting people up is horrible. Horrible. She's like 1 out of 12.
Man, I'm trying to think of the last person I tried to set up. Josh, you got anybody you've tried to set up? You have like a good batting average, good record?
I don't care enough. So I let other people do their thing. Mussolini tries to set up a lot of people, some of our friends, which all you know. And that's zero for about 1,000 at this rate.
It's tough. That's tough.
It is a tough biz. You know, I'm a little better Chuck Woolery. But
the problem is when you're setting people up, like it's... Oh, I know this person, and I think maybe you would like this person. And now, if the relationship doesn't work out, they go on a couple of dates, decide it actually doesn't work, you can't cross-pollinate anymore, right? Like, you can't hang out in the same, you know, now you have to hang out with just this friend. It's a big gamble to be setting your friends up with each other.
Do you guys rank your friends, or do you have circles like me, or how does it work?
Yeah, I would say it's probably circles.
Circles?
Yeah. You kind of got an inner circle, and then, yeah. It kind of branches out.
Josh, are you roll that way?
No, I don't. I mean, you definitely have the people you're closest to and the people you spend the most time with, but I don't really, I think either you're like a really, really good friend or you're my friend. That's kind of just the difference.
So it's kind of like a Chewy circle thing that he was talking about.
Yeah, where it just kind of branches further and further out. But I mean, there's a ton of people in the friend area.
Is there? What constitutes a friend?
Someone you enjoy seeing, someone you have good rapport with, and someone you don't need to check in on constantly.
So if you go into your local establishment and you see a guy there every third time and you sit there and talk to him, is that a friend? Or is that an acquaintance?
That's probably closer to an acquaintance.
Well, so I've got, I mean, I would say, especially in the golf front,
yes.
Like there are a bunch of guys at Brown Deer that I know and very friendly with, enjoy playing golf with, but I don't even see him all that often, I would say, just because depending upon the schedule, if you end up playing with each other, you know.
Yes.
So are those more acquaintance? Are those golf buddies? Is that a separate category?
I don't
category?
Know. I think golf friends is another circle outside.
Okay.
I have probably 3 rings of friends.
Okay. What do you consider the rings?
Well, obviously your inner circle is your inner circle.
Yeah.
And then that next circle.
How deep is your inner circle? Pretty tight?
Yeah. I'm not a phone person. I'm not a communication. You know my rule of thumb. Do not talk or text to me Monday through Thursday. I don't want to talk. I just don't. I have no strength. I'm a busy guy. I got a lot of things going.
No strength?
I'm just telling you,
just don't.
Now, the Spaniard had a tough time with it because he's kind of a sensitive guy.
Okay.
I'm like,
well, he's got a fiery, you know, you call him the Spaniard, you know, the Spanish
like,
are fiery, passionate.
Just don't text or call, you know, especially, certainly on a Monday.
Don't text or call. What a rule. Wait, so
I probably in the inner.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, probably 7 solids.
Okay.
7.
All right. Is the Blammer on the inner circle?
No.
Okay. Well, because you see,
well,
like,
he's on my inner circle, but he's not even in someone else's circle, so you got to kind of average him out.
It's,
you know, sure. What I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So ipso facto, he's probably in the third circle.
Because the Blammer, as fun as he is, as entertaining as he is to you, and honestly, outside of your wife, is he the one you hang out with the most? Because you see him once a week.
When I'm back here?
Yeah, you see him once a week. Like you have a standing
gate. He's probably third okay. or fourth.
Which you would think is inner circle, but I also can't imagine, like, you've got something going on in your life that's pretty heavy and pretty serious. I can't imagine you're going to the Blammer for advice, you know? That's what I think of inner circle. Like, I've got...
Here's the problem.
I've got an issue, right? These are the people I want to talk to. That's my inner circle.
I think Blammer's, like... I think we all have this friend. We're the convenience friend.
Here's the problem in a nutshell.
Okay.
This is the root of the problem. He's a groper. He'll have a lazy elbow swinging, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
He'll have a lazy, maybe a misguided hand every now and then. No one likes a groper.
No.
Right? I don't mind a groper.
Well, because he's not groping you.
He's tried, you know. That's a problem.
That it's
because
yes,
when,
correct.
Like my son's girlfriends come over,
yeah,
they run
as they should.
They run. The kiss hello, I'm out on.
Who's kissing hello?
Blammer. Are you out on the? Are you guys out on the kiss hello? I think it's the biggest crock of garbage I've ever heard in my life.
I don't think I've ever been in on the kiss hello.
Josh,
no.
Like outside of like whoever your significant other is, shouldn't be smooching people.
Thank you very much. Absolutely like, agree.
I will kiss my wife hello.
Yes.
Like I show up, she's already at an event. Oh, hi, honey. Quick little smooch, and then you move on. That's it. That's the list.
No. My wife flies under the flag of I'm Italian. So I put her on probation. You kiss someone that I don't approve of because you're Italian? I'm like, I ain't kissing you. I don't want my lips touching that slob's lips. That's my rule.
Man, you've got so many issues for a guy that you... right?
For a busy guy, yeah.
For a busy guy, yeah. You got a lot of issues.
Put that on the list. Can you pull that? Are you in or out on the kiss hello? Out, I'm talking family's fine.
Okay.
You know, family.
Yeah.
Do you extend it to very, very close friends?
Again, my own personal rule has always been like if we're not, again, so, you know, in my past, it's been different, you know, girlfriends or whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's my wife. Like I've got one person. Like at any given
Thank
time
you.
In my life, it's only been one person that I'm going to give a kiss hello to.
Yes.
And sometimes it might have been a zero. If you're not seeing anybody, it's zero people you're kissing hello.
Yes.
I'm not tossing out smooches like it's going out of style.
No. I'll kiss my mother on the cheek. I'll kiss my mother-in-law on the cheek.
Okay.
That's about it. That's where the line ends. Is that fair?
I think that's even more than most people.
Yeah, I think you're being very generous.
I don't see Gabe kissing his mother-in-law on the cheek.
Nope.
No?
Neither would I.
Can't imagine what would happen to me if I kissed my mother-in-law on the cheek.
I'd get a lot of weird looks.
It'd be some awkward conversations that I don't want to have.
Nope.
What about Tom Brady?
I mean, again, Tom Brady's, you know, a little different. He's a different guy. He's a different cat.
That is very different.
He is a different cat. Oh, man.
How'd we get here, man? This is like...
I asked for one clarification on the Blammer, and then we got into a deeper conversation about friendship.
Yeah. I mean, you all seen the picture. Could you imagine that thing coming at you and wanting a smooch?
No, and I hate that you bring up the picture as much as you bring up the picture.
I know.
Because just as soon as I forget it, you bring up this picture, and for those who don't know, and we're never sharing this picture publicly, but Chewy, for whatever reason, in his phone... has a picture of the Blammer in his skivvies.
Yes, asleep. Someone said he looked like a frog, which I thought was quite hilarious.
Yeah.
I tried bringing it back to sports with Tom Brady.
That's not what you were doing.
Yes.
Oh, somehow I missed the cue. Missed the cue of you trying to bring it back to sports. Hell, man, I can't believe I missed Chewy. Trying to bring it back to sports, but we will bring it back to sports because Bill Barnwell did a ranking this morning. Came out on ESPN.com. Ranking skill position. So just running backs, tight ends, wide receivers. I'm going to ask Chewy. I'm going to give you 4 minutes here to think about it. Where do you think the Packers rank in the NFL in terms of their running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers? We have that conversation next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right about anything.
Ed Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Seem to be fans of the Packers playmakers, get excited about the future of the wide receivers, the tight ends. Seems to be some excitement over Josh Jacobs at running back. But how do they feel about it across the league? Now, two separate things are happening at ESPN.com, and I think once they continue to roll out more and more, we're going to do a deeper dive into the top 10 at every position. Because the Packers already have two in the first two lists that were released. That's compiled by Jeremy Fowler. But I want to talk about Bill Barnwell, because he does this every year, where he ranks the skill positions on offense. So this is rank. I'll give you the parameters here, Chew.
Okay.
This is just about running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. It's only about on-field performance during the 2024 season, so kind of projecting out what's going to happen in 2024. Injury histories and suspensions matter. Wide receivers weighed more heavily than running backs or tight ends, again, because those are the ones who get paid. Focus is on elite players and a team's top five contributors.
Okay.
So maybe the depth that the Packers have doesn't factor in as much.
We kind of touched on this yesterday with the 49ers, right?
So given all that information, given that those are the parameters that Bill Barnwell is using, where do you think the Green Bay Packers rank in the NFL in terms of their wide receivers, tight ends, running backs combined, skill position on offense?
So you said it's not depth, though.
Correct. It's leaning more heavily towards kind of those top five. So for most teams, it would be your top three wide receivers, your top tight end, your top running back.
Okay, here's what I think.
Depth is a factor.
Yeah, but not as...
But Christian McCaffrey's going to outweigh two good running backs.
Here's what I think. I think where they get... The running back position is solid. Probably a top five, although you said Josh Jacobs was eighth on that list,
seventh or eighth.
He was seventh. That's solid. The problem with the receiving core is they're all twos. No one has emerged as a one. And one of their starters missed nine games last year. Mm-hmm. I think they're penciling him, probably as a starter.
Yeah.
Tight end position is young. I was really looking forward to the tight end battle in training camp to see who was going to be the number one.
Because
based upon last year, I think they were hand in hand. Wouldn't say that one was better than the other.
Luke Musgrave started the season as the main contributor, got injured, and Tucker Kraft kind of just filled right in.
Yeah.
The problem with...
After not getting a ton of snaps.
Musgrave is he has a hard time staying on his feet.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a balance thing or what, but...
Well, I don't know. Because he's getting open. So the problem is, once the ball touches his hands, it was almost like he couldn't carry the football and stay on his feet at the same time. He can run the route perfectly fine without the football.
Musgrave stayed on his feet!
It's kind of like some people chewing gum and walking. It's very difficult for some. So I don't think the receiver group, even though there's a lot of them, is going to rank uber high. Especially when you said that depth is, you know, a little farther down the line. I would put them, because we talked about the receivers the other day in the, 25 under 25?
Mm-hmm.
And there was like six. I would say they're probably 10, 11.
Want to try again?
15? Am I going the wrong way?
Closer. You're closer.
All right, 18.
Getting warmer.
No, you're very warm.
Oh. That far down the
17th.
List.
17th. So the last 2 years that Bill Barnwell has done this, in 2022, they ranked 29th. Last year, they ranked 28th going into the season. And I think that's fair when you think of, again, the unknowns of this position a year ago and then 2 years ago when Alan Lazard was your number one wide receiver going in. They did not rank very high. And he does say this, there's no star or household name yet in this mix, but the youngest, deepest receiving core in the league, four different wide receivers, credibly competing for the top spot in the lineup when they're healthy. He thinks that they could potentially get into the top 10 should some of these players emerge next season.
Did they, you know, the only thing I am worried about is actually LaFleur being too nice with these guys and kind of going back to Pop Warner football and saying, okay, everyone's going to play, everyone's get their shot, instead of like, all right, you're clearly half a click better than these other guys. You need to get the reps. We need to develop you into a number one.
Because
wouldn't you say last year was kind of like, it was by committee, sometimes by injury, but it's like, he's going to get some snaps. He's going to get some snaps. Now, it was different with me and Keith, right?
Yeah.
It was different because he was established and I was established. Kraft and Musgrave aren't yet.
No.
Where would you put him at the end of the year last year? Who would you say would you project as a starter coming into this year?
I was more excited for Tucker Kraft.
Tucker Kraft to me seems like he gets the game a little bit better than Musgrave does.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Kraft just seemed, again, this is 10,000 feet away. Like you said, get it? I mean, he just, yeah, he has more of a knack for football, where it seemed like Musgrave, I'm assuming, he's kind of rigid. You know, like you talked about this a lot when we did the All-22 last year of, okay, this has to be one, two, three, four steps,
yes,
and then I have to do this. Like, it just seemed very rigid. It wasn't as fluid. Now, there's a lot of athleticism in Musgrave that there's excitement to be about,
yes,
and when he can catch up to everybody else in terms of, okay, make it flow a little bit more, I think that's pretty exciting as well.
I think Kraft is also just more a traditional tight end. He'll stick his nose in there. He helps in the run game.
Yeah, he seems to process a little bit quicker, and I think he has more of a attitude.
Yes. He's
got a nastiness to him.
Sure does. He likes it. He very much invites it. Where I think Musgrave's going to end up being more of like a JerMichael Finley style, to reference a Packer. He's kind of just a pass catcher, which is fine.
Yes.
Those guys work in today's NFL, but not going to do the same things necessarily.
See, I think we're going to know at the end of the season what he's going to be.
Oh, I think
whether he's going to be special or he's going to be a nice tight end.
I think we're going to have a really good feeling after 17 more games of how this is all going to shake out. The Packers are going to have a better idea because they're probably going to have to be in a position where they offer Dobbs or Watson, or maybe neither, some sort of contract.
But you get what I'm saying when it comes to LaFleur?
Yeah.
I mean, if this guy's half a click better,
it's a delicate balance, right? Because you need everyone to stay engaged. And you've said and been on the record of how much you liked Mike Holmgren, because you guys were in a pretty similar spot in 96. You know, Robert was established, but Free was coming on. You had Biebs, you had you had Keith, Dorsey, Edgar. You had all these weapons that he had that Holmgren had to figure out how to use. And if you had a game where you didn't have any catches, Monday or Tuesday, hey, man, like, I know, I got you this next week.
Yeah.
Right? So he found a way to foster the competitiveness, especially with the younger guys like Robert and Free, but then also on the side, be like, hey, I know I didn't get you last week. I'm going to get you. There's a delicate balance there of promoting and wanting that competition, but then also finding a way to keeping everybody engaged and making sure they're getting theirs.
I also think they had a trouble with reliability. Guys were running to the same spot a lot early in the season.
Yeah, young guys.
So, like, people would just get benched because they didn't know what they were doing out there. So I think that's probably going to go away in a sense. Like, I think we're going to have our top three established, and then it's going to be the rest of the guys fighting for those snaps.
But here's when it comes to receiver, this, I think I know what Dobbs is. I think I know what he is, and I think I know what Watson is. I don't know what Wicks is, and I mean, this might sound goofy, I don't know what Reed is yet. I don't know how good he is.
I think Dobbs has the highest floor but the lowest ceiling. Does that make sense?
No. What do you want me to just say yes so we can move
on? Gabe.
He has
what
the
do you
highest...
think it means? Yeah, highest floor, but the lowest ceiling.
I have no idea.
He's the most limited. He's going to be the most consistent at a certain point, but he does not have wide receiver one potential.
So why couldn't you just say that?
This is a little more verbose.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it. So him.
Do you?
For sure. Him. I don't think he's. I don't think he's going to be anything better than a three with these other guys around.
I would agree. So, and I know Jason's used this, and if Romeo Doubs goes and has the career of James Jones, I'm going to be incredibly thrilled. But James Jones, I mean, he ended up kind of being a de facto one the one season they brought him back because Jordy got hurt and Randall was hurt. Like, everybody was hurt. And Aaron Rodgers just trusted James Jones, so he ended up throwing the ball a ton back in 2015. But I think that, yes, I would agree. I think he's kind of, he has those limitations of James Jones, but I think he can still be a really good player for you.
Yeah. See, the problem is with having six receivers, you know, that are all in this space right here. I know it's radio, but yeah, the people on the
check out,
YouTube.
Check out the YouTube stream.
All in this space. What basically what I'm saying is I don't need Malik Heath getting 15 plays a game if he's the fifth best receiver, yeah, just to keep him happy. I don't need that. There's not enough plays in a game, you know? I mean, when Keith was here, it was nice from the standpoint that I'm fresh. But when you're in it,
mm-hmm,
I don't want to come out of the game.
Yeah,
I mean, 65 plays for me is nothing.
Yeah.
Is nothing. So that's all I'm saying, and that's all on LaFleur. It's like, don't keep your fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers happy. You don't need to. They're there as a security blanket, break glass in case for emergency, in case someone gets hurt. They don't all need 25 plays or 32 plays.
How much?
Play your best players.
So a couple questions. One, how much do you think we see these guys in the three preseason games? And then the follow-up to that is, given how training camp is so different, is that enough time? Do you have enough practices in training camp for a pecking order to be established? So when you're taking on Philadelphia in Brazil on that Friday in week one,
mm-hmm,
you have that, all right, sorry, Malik, or sorry, Jaden, whoever it ends up being.
Yeah.
You didn't perform well in the last month when you had these opportunities, so now we're giving those opportunities to these other people in these games.
Well, I'll take the tight end position first. Tucker Kraft's not going to be ready.
Yeah.
He's not going to be ready.
Yeah.
So Musgrave's your guy. Mm-hmm. Get him the reps. You know, play him sparingly in the preseason. He still needs some live work. Get him most of the reps and be slow with Tucker Kraft. Ben Sims is fine. Even if Kraft isn't available for the first game or two, mm-hmm, he's fine. And get him up to speed. Don't rush him back. There's no need. The receiver standpoint, I mean, I would push Watson instead of babying him. You know, I would condition the hamstring. And if he can't handle it, then we know that's a, you know,
you
to sit there and go, wow, we're going to keep him out of everything. He's going to practice once a week. That doesn't serve a purpose. Now, it would if they had three receivers, but they don't.
They've got a lot of guys who can step up.
Pulls usually come one, and this is what I believe, and
well, I mean,
kind
you're
of a doctor. Pulls come from one, dehydration, and two, not conditioning the hamstring. I don't think it does him any good.
When you say conditioning the hamstrings, I think we know what hydration is,
yes,
right? And obviously, Chewy practices what he preaches. He's got his 100 ounces of water that he has with him every single day. Drinks that in the morning. So when you say condition the hamstring, what do you mean?
You got to practice. Go routes.
So
burst,
you're doing a lot
burst
of sprint. Yeah, a lot of sprints getting
going
off the line.
That's how you condition.
Like that.
That's how you condition your hamstring. What I believe is the number one receiver is going to come from Watson if the hamstring's not a problem, Reed or Wicks. So you got to develop a one. Who's going to be your one? Who's going to be your one? Who's going to be your Davante Adams for the next 8 years?
Okay, I've got a question about Reed and his promise to potentially be a number one. So we'll get to that. Also, you're going to guess where the Packers rank in the division in this latest thing from Bill Barnwell. We'll do that coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks, he sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody loves Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
I predicted last year on the Bold-a-thon that Wilde and Tausch do that Jaden Reed would be their leading receiver. It just seems like there's a lot to love about him. Can he be a number one wide receiver?
Yeah. I think he can.
And the reason why I ask that is when you look around at the general size of most of these guys, you look at Devontae, you look at Justin Jefferson. But not to say that Jaden Reed can't be a very good number two, but if we want to compare him to Randall Cobb, which we've seemed to have done quite a bit, right? Because he's 5'11", 187 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But can he be that size and be a legitimate number one consistently in the league?
Would you take right now Randall Cobb's career for Jaden Reed?
Absolutely.
That's good enough?
Absolutely.
Was Randall Cobb ever number one?
No. I mean, I think de facto he was supposed to be.
Okay.
He did lead the team in receiving yards 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can be a one. I don't know about his work ethic. The problem is a lot of these guys think they've arrived in year one, and I'm not saying this is him, but mm-hmm. I've seen it where guys don't work as hard. And if that's the case with him, I don't think it is. He's going to get bypassed by other players. The thing that motivates them, the thing that motivates or should motivate,
mm-hmm.
how many of them? One, five of them probably? Justin Jefferson, Amon St. Brown.
Yeah.
They got to be looking at it going, wow, I can get paid here, which is a good thing. Because it creates competition in that room. And you have to kind of be a Richard.
But
you have to be a little bit of a Richard, Gabe.
Oh, and I
100%. Talked about it the other day. Like, no, I got this run. No, you had the last one. No, I'm running this one. I hope there is some of that. Because I think a number one has to emerge.
Because part of the reason that I have kind of hooked my wagon to the, I think Dontavian Wicks is going to be the number one star, also deals with, I think he's healthier than Christian Watson. Because Christian Watson has the most potential out of any of them, size-speed combo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the health is something that I'm always going to be concerned about. So I think with Wicks, I think he can be healthier. And then he's just bigger than Jaden.
Yeah.
Like am I being unfair to Jaden Reed by thinking that? And I'm not even concerned about the size. I just think that he's, again, gadget is even too.
I mean, Robert Brooks was small.
Yeah.
And he could play. Best route runner I've maybe ever been around.
Like, Wes Welker was a tiny dude, and he had an unbelievable career working out of the slot.
The mm-hmm. thing is, those guys are more anomalies. The size matters a lot, and that's why Goody drafts the way he does with big, extremely athletic guys, because that stuff does matter. Now, Randall Cobb is a great example of an undersized guy performing extremely well. Jaden Reed so far is doing that. He even showed the ability to go up and get the ball sometimes.
Yeah.
Because some of those corners he goes against are going to be the same size as him or just slightly bigger. I think the comparison is Deebo Samuel, but not in the same degree where he's going to be doing as much traditional carrying the ball.
I mean, how big is Deebo?
He's big.
Because that's the problem. Like,
he's
Deebo,
thicker.
Like,
he's thick. Yeah.
Deebo.
Yeah.
When you have that, when you're a little bit of a thicker guy like that, I
just don't think you'll see carries between the tackles with him.
Yeah.
But they're going to use him in that screen game and in that jet sweep game because he is right now probably the best guy with the ball in his hands.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Like by far.
Yes.
And that's just too valuable to let go win. You know, force the touches to him, and I think they're going to treat him that way.
The problem is if no one emerges. From a defensive standpoint, they look at them as all the same. So when they come into a game, it's like, don't look at their numbers. It doesn't matter. They're all the same player, right? We don't need to double team anyone. Just play solid defense. They're going to get their catches, and let's just get after him from a rush standpoint. Whereas if you have, you don't even need a Devontae, but you need someone, and Watson has this, they need someone that draws a double team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To help out, because the double team throws the defense off a little bit.
It's kind of like basketball. If you have five of the same guys, just play good defense, you know? Whereas if you have a stud.
Yeah, then you're the Atlanta Hawks from 10
years ago.
Am I right?
Where if you have a stud, then you're like, hey, we got to give this guy a little extra attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's why someone has to emerge.
So let me ask you this question then. Where do you think, so this conversation all coming off of this Bill Barnwell article at ESPN.com ranking the position skill positions outside of quarterbacks, running back, tight end, wide receiver, and the Packers rank 17th in the league. Where do you think they rank in the NFC North?
Well, he's crazy if he puts the Bears ahead of him, because we have not seen Caleb Williams a lick, and you can't grade him off of college film. I'm going to say they're 2.
They're 4th.
That's ridiculous. See, that's bad. Because Minnesota, come on.
Well, so Minnesota's got some really good weapons.
They don't have a quarterback,
which is
the most important position on the field.
But that's not factored in.
So you got
here.
Hockenson, Jefferson, Addison,
Aaron Jones. And especially 4? When you are... Yeah,
So
Minnesota's ranked 5th in the league. The Bears are ranked 6th in the league. And the Lions are ranked 7th.
That's premature. I mean, now that I look at it, I guess I can see
Minnesota. And I understand.
But Adunze, he hasn't played a snap yet.
They got Keenan Allen. They have DJ Moore. They have
who's their running back?
I'm blanking on the running back's name.
And then Kmet at tight end.
It's DeAndre Swift.
Oh yeah, they have DeAndre Swift.
Uh huh. And then Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson.
Yeah, that's got to be ranked higher than the Packers. Again,
are we overrating them because they're in our backyard?
That's what I'm a little worried about. But also, nobody's really emerged. Again, we talk about Jaden Reed. He led the team with 793 receiving yards last year.
Yeah, but we kind of figured that, though, didn't we?
Sure, but somebody has to emerge. Like that, all those other three teams have legit stars at the, like, Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in football right now. DJ Moore's really good. Keenan Allen had over 1,000 yards despite injuries last year. I had 1,200 yards, I want to say. And he only played like 12 or 13 games.
Yeah.
The Lions just gave Amon-Ra St. Brown all that money. And they have Sam LaPorta. They traded away Hockenson and then still end up with one of the best tight ends in Sam LaPorta. They've got, all three of those teams are pretty deep. Now, where the Packers can get an advantage is the quarterback position, which is the most important thing.
Is he the best in the division? It's just between him and Goff. I get how LaFleur likes to attack a defense, and he does a great job at it. Okay, he's more flooding areas and getting people out. Which is okay, but the problem is these opponents now have had an off season to study them and how to address the 5 guys out. Are we overinflating the Packers?
Right, look, I don't want to dive into
this. Monday conversation, it's not a Wednesday.
Yeah, look, I've got a fear deep inside of me that I've said out loud a couple different times that hasn't been public consumption that I don't know if I'm ready. I haven't fully thought it out yet.
Joshy, can we pull that, though? And I know it's going to be toady. I just want to know how toady it is. Are we overinflating?
So the Packers are ranked 17. Because I don't think we... When I pulled this article up, I, like Chewy, assumed they were going to be around the top 10.
Yes.
That's what I thought. And that's kind of where I scrolled to... And didn't realize I had scrolled past the Packers and had to go back to 17 to find them on this list.
But the more you think about it, it's like, okay, I kind of see where he's coming from now. My question is to you is, if you add the quarterback, what does that do to the list?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it flips everything around.
But how much does it change it?
Well, like, so the Chiefs, I don't know where the Chiefs are on this list. I mean, the Chiefs are suddenly number one, right? Like, so the Niners are one, the Eagles are two, Dolphins are three.
All right, let me just ask you this. In the division, you add the quarterback, they jump in front of Minnesota.
Yes.
They jump in front of the Bears.
Yes.
They don't jump in front of Detroit.
It's very close. I would say they don't jump in front of Detroit.
Just because Amon-Ra is established.
He's, yeah. And LaPorta is more established than the Packers tight ends.
Okay, now I feel a little better.
Yeah, if you factor in the quarterbacks, it's completely different. This is not factoring in QB.
What they're doing here is removing all the other factors. And when you said the concerns about like play calling and having that, we've seen these offenses work even established. And the thing that held back Sean McVay previously was the lack of the quarterback position.
Yes.
So if Jordan Love is as good as we think, you can think you know what, and most teams know what they're going to run, but trying to stop it is the problem.
Yes.
Because there's so much motion, there's so many things to confuse you, and a good throw is going to beat a good defense almost every single time. And that's how Aaron Rodgers existed back in the McCarthy era when it was just win, beat your guy. And now they're actually doing things to scheme guys open. Like Romeo Dobbs was just running across the Cowboys defense, seemingly untouched. And it was like people forgot he existed. I think that stuff doesn't go away as long as you keep inventing and keep building off of what you have.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think on how I would defend this defense. And I'm thinking with Christian Watson, you play what we'd call cover seven, which is two deep man under. And then if you don't have Watson in there, you probably play man free or cover three and change it up. Because there's no real... Is there a deep threat without Christian Watson? I mean, who's their next runner? Wicks?
Bo?
Yeah, I was going to say, based on speed, it's Bo Melton. But I think Luke Musgrave also provides that because mismatch and like his ability. He can run with the best of the wide receivers. Yeah. That's how fast he is.
Okay, I'm feeling a little better now.
Okay, as long as you're feeling better. If you want to feel better, you can head to Ewald Automotive right now because they know summer is meant to be spent outside. That's why they help you get in and out in about an hour. Shop over 1,400 vehicles priced to sell during their Buys of Summer sales events, and they won't be beat on price. That's guaranteed. Only at Ewald. Includes their exclusive 20 or 200,000-mile warranty with your purchase. 11 brands, 10 locations, one easy experience. It's all at ewaldauto.com. Chewy, what percentage of coaches are dumb?
Just based on past experience? I wouldn't call it. Well, there are some dumb ones. Hold on. One, two, three. Not 3%. I'm saying out of, on the low end when we were the best?
Yeah.
Three.
Okay. Three out of what?
I wouldn't call them dumb. I would just call them.
Well, so there's no arguing that Mike Gundy's been a successful college coach, right?
Yes.
He's done a lot of good things at Oklahoma State. He's won a lot of games at Oklahoma State. He's been there forever. But there was a player from Oklahoma State, their star player, who got a DUI, and it doesn't look like he's not going to miss any games. They made that perfectly clear. He's not going to miss any games, that they're dealing with some sort of internal punishment. And we're at that time of year where Big 12 is having their media days. So Mike Gundy stepped up to the podium, and clearly he was going to be asked about this. And here's what he had to say about his best player getting caught and having, you know, whether or not, what's the punishment going to be for a DUI?
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08 and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought, really, two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light. because you make a lot of money to play football.
He got out light because you're letting him off light. You're not punishing him. You're the one who's now standing up and going, oh, yeah, I've done this 1,000 times. So clearly, like, when you hear a coach talk about that, like, do I think that this is being taken seriously at Oklahoma State?
No.
I mean, honestly, I don't think we're taking drunk driving seriously anywhere, but that's neither here nor there. That's a different conversation for a different day, and probably a different radio station. But, like, you hear a coach say that, Chewy, a head coach.
Like, what? It's just a bad message. It's a bad message. I mean, that's something to sit around with the coaches, you know, shooting the bull and saying something like that. But the message you're sending out to these young kids, it's just horrible. He should have said he made a mistake. We all make mistakes, right?
Which is
he's going to be punished accordingly. We're not kicking him off the team. He made a mistake, and I will make sure he learns from that mistake.
He tried to clarify his statement via Twitter after this. But yeah, like you said, this is not something that you say publicly. You know, maybe privately, like you said, like, man, I just looked it up on my phone, like 3-4 drinks. I've done that a bunch.
Yeah.
Man, I got lucky, and so did he, that he only got off with this, yada, yada, yada. You can't step up to a microphone and say this out loud. It makes me question your judgment.
Yeah, and it's going to affect him when it comes to recruiting, you know?
Will it, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think for some people it would.
I mean, for some, but if they offer, I mean, if you're a little opposed to it, but the NIL offers the best.
Yeah.
And I know my coach is going to go to bat for me.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, say, well,
you can still go to bat for the kid without saying that.
Yeah, you can defend him.
Sure.
Hey, he made a mistake. We all make mistakes. This is obviously a serious mistake that he wishes he could have bat. Like, there's just, I don't understand how these coaches get this messaging so wrong all of the time.
He's a loose cannon, though, right?
He's a man. He's 40.
He's a man. He's 40. Yeah, this is I just don't. I think these guys get so powerful that they just don't care. You know?
This, juxtapose this with the Minnesota Vikings player who tragically passed away this weekend because somebody in another car was drunk driving.
Yep.
And cost 3 people their lives to come out and say this with a player who's never even this kid is the kid that passed away had never played in the NFL. He was just drafted out of
fourth round pick.
Yeah.
And this very close in age to this kid, you can't there's no reason this comment should be taken. He should have gone that way at all.
Yeah.
It's a serious thing, and even if you're saying it in your if you're saying it with your coaches in private, that's still bad. It's still wrong. You're still underplaying something that affects people's lives every single day, especially here in Wisconsin, where it is taken more trivial than most places.
What he was trying to do was like defend his player by saying, oh, yeah, I've done this. But it just makes it so much worse.
Right. Because if Oklahoma State has any gumption, you say, well, if this is your decision making, we don't want you around here. But they're not going to because he
wins a lot
makes
of games.
A lot of money.
And he wins a lot of games. And he makes them relevant. It's just I couldn't believe it when I heard it. And again, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. It's a little heavier than we typically dive into here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but come on, man. Like, how are we? Because this happens, and it seems like it's a lot of college coaches, Chew, that just, and I think you're right. Maybe these guys get too powerful. They don't listen to anybody else and go, oh, this is how I'm going to handle this.
Well, there's no governing body. The NCAA isn't going to punish a kid for something like this, is it? So it falls. No, where the NFL will.
The NFL would step, this is outside of the NCAA's purview.
Yeah.
Where this would be, it has to be dealt with by the institution of Oklahoma State.
That should be zero tolerance.
And next time we ever think about feeling bad for a college coach, just remember there's a lot of Mike Gundys running around out there.
Yeah.
People who don't deserve it.
No, like, you're right.
You suspend them for the first game of the season. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably
there's 12
playing.
Guys in the, there's 12 teams in the playoff now.
All right. We move on. How aggressive should the Milwaukee Brewers be? Coming up, Hour 2, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.